All glory to the Son of the devotees. All glory to the Son of the devotees. All glory to the divine literacy to see, Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Samanita Namani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesha Sanyavari Vaskachara Satarani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidweta Gadada Shivasari Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all for coming. Of course, you have all attractive Rukmini Dwarkadish, so hard to resist. I wanted to say a little something about, of course, the Sunday feast talk is an interesting job to do because you have quite a range here. You've got people who've been coming to the temple for years, people that are arranged, you know, raised in Vedic tradition, and you've got people who may have walked in the door for the first time. I'm not going to even ask anyone to raise their hand if they're here for the first time because it's always a little embarrassing. We have all types. I was just saying that in San Diego, I'm usually in San Diego, we did a play, and right here in the temple, of course in the San Diego temple, but like this. And in part of the play, the two devotees dressed as actors come in and say, "Nobody move." When they made the announcement, "Nobody move," three guys shut out the back door. So you never know. There's all types. There's, you know, your PhD graduates and your people in need of a lot of mercy. All types come to the temple. But a common idea is, what is the need of so much, all this philosophy and all this talking? What is the use? Or quite often, people get into a certain routine. They'll come, they'll take darshan, the deities, and they'll go. But Srila Prabhupada said that spiritual life is meant for a revolution within the heart. I remember one of our sannyasis, senior monks, was visiting our temple in Ann Arbor, Michigan, many years ago. And a professor from the philosophy department came. And the devotee, senior monk, sannyasi, asked, "Have you read Bhagavad Gita?" Man said, "Of course." He said, "Did you understand it?" Man said, "Of course." So the devotee asked, "So what are you going to do?" And a puzzled look came over the man's face. Do? That the conclusion of knowledge was meant to be an impetus to action? That connection had not been made. He read it, he understood it, he put, you know, connected the dots and filed it away as a theoretical theory, you know, just to, you know, to throw in with everything else that he understood theoretically. But the idea was meant to change his behavior, change his way of seeing the world. That was completely a new idea. So we don't want to be like that. Our Prabhupada gives a very simple but quite easy to understand, good example, that if you have a jar of honey, you can lick the outside of the glass, you won't taste anything. You have to open it up and taste it. So, to give an example, why philosophy matters, philosophical understanding, seeing Jakshu Shloki, to see through the eyes of Scripture, why this matters. Many of us are raised in America, or if you're not raised in America and you happen to become an American citizen, you have to say, what is it, you have to learn the Constitution preamble, you have to learn the, what is it, the Pledge of Allegiance. So many things. But I was thinking of Bill of Rights, different things you have to learn. A Declaration of Independence, that's what I'm thinking. And one of those lines is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Of course, they mean all humankind. Let's not go into that field. But the way it's actually written, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Well, hang on a sec. All people are created equal? I don't see anybody equal in this room. On one hand, if you look at it, each one of us looks differently, thinks differently, has a different IQ level, has a different, what they call EQ, or emotional level, the way we sort things out. We all have different personalities. In fact, sometimes we become, if we're treated just like somebody else, or we're identical with someone else, we become offended. I'm not a number. So how is it that all people are different colors, different sizes, different shapes? Nobody's equal. So what does this state? Because it's an important idea. If everyone is equal, then you should treat people equally. You shouldn't, you know, all that, there shouldn't be exploitation. So it's an important principle. But what is it based on? It's based on a spiritual principle. My point being, if you understand spiritual principles, then it makes sense. Krishna is described as the father of all living entities. So if everyone has the same father, immediately there's a family. Immediately there's brotherhood, sisterhood, common kind. So as soon as you accept the spiritual principle that everyone is a child of God, immediately you have equality. But without this spiritual principle, really it just becomes a slogan without any substance. So my point is, the point I'm trying to make, is that spiritual principles matter. Right here in L.A., there's a nice story. People are concerned about, you know, I think I mentioned before, there's a man who comes to the temple in San Diego, and he oversees a number of crews that clean up the highways, freeways. Was it Caltrans? Like Caltrans crew. There's a growing phenomena. They call them chuckers. Chuckers are people who throw their cell phones out the car window. He says that they find them, they find three, four, five, six, each team cleaning up an area of the freeway finds three or four, five cell phones a day. There are people who are so, you know, they got bad news, or their wife is hassling them, or the boyfriend's giving them, you know, the stock market. When they're so agitated, they've thrown the phone out the perfectly good phone, just threw them out the window. So people are wound so tight. There's a devotee sent me an article. It was a summary of a book called Faster. And the idea is that stimulus response, there's a time lag. And that time has been shortened and shortened. People have, like the cartoon movies, you know, if you wind a clock tighter and tighter, boing, after a while the springs fly out, you know. Previously, if I wanted to communicate with you and you were some distance, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, I would write a letter. And, you know, now people put things in email. They just fly. They think, oh, man, they put the send button. Think, oh, that was a wrong move, you know. Previously, you write a letter. You have a chance to think about it. You self-edit. Maybe you put it in the drawer. You mail it the next day, whatever. But that you write a letter. And off it goes. And the person who gets it has a chance to read it and think, well, that idiot. Oh, well, I better not say that. They think about, you know, they process it and they respond. So there's a, you know, you understand, there's a lag time. There's a span there. Then they came along with telegraph. So it became a little quicker, you know. But still, you had a chance to read it. Then they came along with phones. It's ringing right in your house. There's the person. But you don't have to answer the phone, right? So there's a little freedom. But then people get answering machines. They say, you didn't get my message? I left a message on your machine. So you're wound a little bit tighter. And now they have one of those things called Blackberries. Wherever you are, I mean, you crack. Hare Krishna, rest in peace. We were at a funeral. A cell phone went off at the funeral. Everyone looked around. The guy was in a suit before he was cremated. It was in the deceased. It was in the pocket. It was ringing in the coffin. I swear to you, the son had been saying, this is a little off field, but the son had been saying, my father was always on call. He was an on-call guy. You know, he was always. So Dharma Sethi, who's a wonderful priest, Dharma said, well, that's one call he's not going to catch. I mean, there comes a time that you are beyond reach, you know. But the thing is, the people have become wound so tight. So here's this philosophical principle, the spiritual principle, a way of seeing the world that can help with that. We don't have that picture here in the temple room. You know, you get a mall, if you're ever lost in a mall and it says, you are here, you know, it shows you where all the layout is. So many maps are like have an arrow where you're standing. So when you have the overview and you see where you are, you can see how the whole thing fits together, right? You understand the example. So this is a where are we in the creation, in the both spiritual and material creation. There is the kingdom of God. Ultimately, everything is the kingdom of God, no doubt about it. But there is a place beyond time and space, Paravyoma, where God is existing. Just like the sun is shining everywhere, and yet there's a sun globe, it's localized. So there is a place, there is Golok Vrindavan, Vaikunth Lok. There's a Krishna's place where the Supreme Lord is living. Then in that kingdom, and his pure devotees are living with him. In the Christian concept of heaven, but we have a higher concept, it's actually beyond that. Anyway, the kingdom of God is there. Then in a small portion of that area, picture that as the spiritual sky. And in that kingdom of God, that spiritual sky, there's like a cloud sometimes in the sky. That small section is the material world. Just like a prison or a school or a hospital, it's only a small section of the city, just a small area. This material world is a place like that, where renegade souls are sent for reformation. That's the purpose of this world. That's another issue. But here we are. So there's the kingdom of God, and then there's a small section that is the material world. And the way that's created is the Supreme Lord expands himself. Brahma Samhita explains, like you can take one candle, and from that candle you can light another candle, and from that candle you can light another candle, each of the same candle power. Still there's the original power, candle. So we say Govindam Adipurusham. There's Krishna, Govinda, and he expands himself, just as the candle can expand. So he expands himself into a portion of the spiritual world and lies down. And from his breathing, bubbles emanate. And when he exhales, all material creation comes out. When he inhales, it all comes in. So this whole cosmic manifestation is just an inhale, exhalation of the Supreme Lord. One breath, he breathes out. And when he breathes in, it's all absorbed. And then he breathes out, it's all manifest. So it's manifest, unmanifest, manifest, unmanifest. So spiritual world, kingdom of God, a portion. God lies down, expands, Karanadakshaya Vishnu. From him emanate these so many universes. In every universe, he lies down again, expands in that little bubble as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he lies down. From his navel comes a lotus. From that lotus that opens, there's Lord Brahma. Brahma hears Krishna's flute, Kama Gayatri, he chants. When he hears it as Kama Gayatri, he chants it as Om Burabhuva, and the whole creation comes out. Om Burabhuva, you know, there's lower planets, middle planets, heavenly planets. So that's how creation, that's where we are. We're in one of those middle planets. So there was a devotee known to many of us, Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was here in Los Angeles, and he was the temple president for some time. Then later on, he went to London. He's one of the heroes of our society. Preached to the Beatles, opened our London temple, opened our temples in Germany, opened our temples in India. Just an amazing personality. So he was the temple president here. At that time, we had just gotten this building. We didn't own any of the buildings across the street. It was just this one building. And there were maybe 40 devotees, but it was the biggest temple in ISKCON, 40 devotees. Now Mayapur has 600 brahmacharis alone, so you can imagine. So Tamal Krishna said, Prabhupada, I have this important position. I'm now the temple president in Los Angeles. And as a devotee, devotees try to pray like this humbly. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to become puffed up. I'll become proud of this big position. So Prabhupada said, you can remember this, that the Supreme Lord expands from the kingdom of God, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, from Karanadakshaya Vishnu, so many universes emanate in every universe, and there's little bubbles. He again expands as Garbhadak Vishnu. And in every universe, so many planets are there. And every planet, there are so many continents. Every continent, so many countries. Every country, so many states. Every state, so many cities. Every city, so many streets. Every street, so many buildings. Every building, so many people. And in one of those buildings is Tamal Krishna Goswami thinking, I'm very important. So if we remember what is our actual position, all the little, we won't be wound so tight and, you know, at any minute ready for road rage or this, you know. It's just one exhalation of the breath of the Supreme Lord. This life is very short. And we should remember, we should put things in perspective. What is our actual purpose? What actually matters? So once again, you know, they talk about stress management. But real stress management is to understand I'm not this body, I'm the soul within. Everything is happening by the mercy of Krishna. My Guru Maharaj saw that, what is it, you're in good hands with Allstate? Do they still have that, the advertisement? Anyway, they have the big hand, there's the house and the dog, the nuclear family and the faithful dog Fido, you know, where the American family is there. Man's best friend. Prabhupada said, dog's not a man's best friend. A cow is a man's best friend. But that's another issue. So here's the, like that. So when Srila Prabhupada saw this advertisement, his quote was, Yokeshmam Vahamyaham, from the Gita. That Krishna preserves whatever we have. He brings to us whatever we lack. Prabhupada said, you think you're sitting on the floor? I am sitting in the hand of Krishna. So for someone who sees like that, he becomes fearless. Even we saw Srila Prabhupada at the time of death, to his last breath, he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. One of my very good friends, he's from India originally, devotee. His father was a very well-to-do doctor and very good doctor in Delhi. And Delhi and Vrindavan, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, it's 2.5-3 hours drive. He heard that Prabhupada was at the end of his life. And Prabhupada had stayed at his house, so he had some affection. So the son asked, the devotee son said, can you go see Srila Prabhupada, see if there's anything you can do? So he loaded up, you know, in those days they only had ambassadors. You could have black or white, two kinds of cars, you know. So they got little ambassador cars together. They all went down to Vrindavan. Prabhupada had literally not been eating any solid food for 3 months, 4 months. Naveen's father, his father's name was Dr. Karana. Dr. Karana told me later on that there was no fatty tissue. The skin was just pushing on the bones. Practically speaking, any ordinary person would have been writhing in pain. And last time he'd seen Prabhupada was a few years ago, and Prabhupada was a very powerful person. So when he saw Srila Prabhupada in that condition, he was shocked. Prabhupada asked him, how are you feeling? How is your family? Oh, you've traveled a long distance. Have you had any rest yet? Please take some prasadam. Prabhupada was completely concerned about his condition. Actually, the man began to cry. He said that, I'm the doctor. I'm the one who walks in and asks, how are you? How are you feeling? This and he said Prabhupada was completely indifferent to his condition. Totally beyond it. Completely transcendental. And simply concerned, how are you? How's your family? Tending to him. He said he could understand that here was someone who was beyond death, who was actually fearless in the face of death. So if we understand our actual position, we become free from so many anxieties. It's the real stress management. So I wanted to read. We go till what time? No later than 6, which is a subtle way of saying a little earlier. No, I'll be succinct. I wanted to read something. This is a... I wanted to set that up as a preface, and then why these words on paper mean something. This is from the Bhishma Dev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana. And, of course, it's interesting because Bhishma has just been shot full of arrows. Bhishma Dev was given the benediction that he could leave his body at will. So he's lying there on a bed of arrows. You can imagine, but completely in pure consciousness, speaking to his grandsons. Grandsons? The Pandavas. Speaking to the Pandavas. And all the Kurus and everyone's around, Pandu and Kurus. So, Prabhupada's purport. This is from the first canto, chapter 9, text 26. Srila Prabhupada's purport or explanation. The Vedic culture is prescribed for civilized human beings, just to train him to successfully terminate the human life. They asked Srila Prabhupada many years ago. Of course, India's advanced materially in so many ways. But this was maybe 1972. They asked Srila Prabhupada, why is the death rate so high in India? His answer was, death rate is the same everywhere, 100%. And it's a fact. So what happens at the time of death? Suppose you said, well, I'll worry about it when it happens. What is that? Row, row, row your boat. Kids sing this gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. All right, I'll just worry about it when it happens. Suppose you're driving down a mountain road. And I tell you, hey, there's a bridge that's out up front and the brakes don't work in the car. Will you say, I'll worry about it when I get there? You know, it's madness. What happens at the time of death? What if, buy now, pay later? I was like my son. There's an ATM card when they first came out. So I was using the ATM card. I think he was around 6. He said, fantastic. He said, get me one of those. he's 6 years old. It's, a dream come true. Stick it in and money comes out. Way to go. The American way, right? I said, hang on a minute. And the little receipt came out. And I said, you got to put money in before you can take money out. Oh, he was completely disinterested. He said, no, you pay for it, So what if there's such a disconnect. I mean, we'll get to this, but there's such a disconnect. Everywhere else we accept there's law of cause and effect. Laws of physics, laws of mathematics, structural engineering, laws of economics. Everywhere we know, you play pool, whatever it is. Everywhere there's laws of cause and effect. Everything. We throw a ball down. You ever throw a ball, fall, it doesn't, what is that? It's supposed to bounce. We all know this. It's not like a Mr. Magoo. You walk off a building and if you don't look down, gravity doesn't work. There's laws everywhere. Everybody in motion is affected by the laws of physics. We're moving through time and space. All of a sudden, there's no laws that affect us. There's no karma. There's no action and reaction in our deeds. Why? Why does everything else is strictly controlled by laws, and yet we're independent? Why? It's a completely illogical disconnect. So it behooves us to hear what if something happens at the time of death? I was saying buy now, pay later. What if everything we do, we have to, what is it, Hugh Hefner? Of course, it's old. Is he dead yet? Not yet. This is way off the track, but it is kind of funny. Hari Sari told me, Srila Prabhupada, Hari Sari was the personal secretary for a number of years for Srila Prabhupada. They were flying on an airplane, and they happened to seat Prabhupada right in front of the movie screen. You know, the big movie screen. And the movie was like Rocky 14 or something, you know. And, you know, it's right in front of your face. You can't really avoid it. So they didn't have headphones or anything. And, you know, he's being thrown out of an airplane and dropped off a cliff and tanks are shooting at him. So Prabhupada watched it for about 15 minutes, turned to Hari Sari and said, "He's not dead yet?" You know, immediately cut to the chase of the, you know, foolish, you know, theme of the whole thing. Of course he'd be dead in 5 minutes, you know. But what happens at the time of death? What if we have to buy now, pay later? What if every action there's a reaction? Doesn't it behoove us to find out about it? It's just, anyway. So this prophet says, so Hugh Hefner, he's not dead yet, but close to it. Playboy Bunny? What, anyone want to guess what he's going to be in his next life? He's going to be a rabbit. There's no question about it. You can go see him at the petting zoo. You can offer all respects. And Colonel Sanders, I mean, who knows how many chicken births he's going to have. So what happens? I mean, those are extreme examples. But anyway, we should learn about these things. So, Bhishma Dev advised all human beings 9 qualifications. Not to become angry, not to lie. In other words, these are qualities, I'm sure as I read them, you all will agree, would make a more peaceful, happy life. And be a peaceful life in the mode of goodness, in sattva, makes it easy to understand spiritual life and practice spiritual life. So just by reading these books, when you walk out of here, my mission, my hope, is that somehow or other you are inspired to read Bhagavad Gita, read Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't have a copy, buy one. I don't get a commission. There's no, I'm not a shill for the gift shop. You can buy it wherever you like, you know, but you should take home if you have Bhagavad Gita, read a chapter a day. Read a little, drops of water wear away stone. Because in these books, in these purports, are transcendental knowledge. It's described that just like when you walk, if you're barefoot, you step on rocks and sticks, it's painful to traverse. Everyone understands. Prabhupada was saying, went on his morning walk one time, he left all of a sudden. Baholasva was a devotee. Baholasva wanted to catch up with him, so he didn't get his shoes. He was running after Prabhupada barefoot, and they were walking down that government road with all the gravel and everything. Prabhupada stopped and said, "Where are your shoes?" So, you know, a devotee, he created some poetry. He said, "Prabhupada, when I'm with you, I don't feel any pain." Prabhupada said, "There's enough suffering in life without inventing it. Go get your shoes." So Prabhupada waited, he got his shoes and came back. You know? So if you have shoes, you can traverse the road. Of course, in the Holy Dham, that dust is a different thing. We want to go over it on Parikram, of course, you go barefoot. But the point is that if you're traversing and you wear some shoes, it makes the road easier. So it's considered that there's so many difficulties in life, no doubt about it. I had an uncle. So many things happened to him in his life. I remember one time I said to him, I said, "If it's not one thing, it's another." You know that saying, if it's not one thing, it's another? He said, "No, son, it'll be both." This guy knows something, you know. It's true, you know. So, but transcendental knowledge, it's described that a child's weapon is innocence. A little child breaks a vase or does, they're just foolish, they're children, what can you do? So their defense is innocence. A woman's defense, used quite effectively, anyone know? Tears, quite effective. And an old man's knowledge, an old man's weapon, you want to guess? It's knowledge. Because he can't fight physically, but by knowledge. So, it's, you know, a child's weapon is innocence, a woman's weapon is tears. There's a whole analogy. And an old man's weapon is knowledge. So, in a simile, transcendental knowledge can help us traverse this world. This, the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are meant to be mined. They're jewels to be extracted and applied to our life. So, read, people read Dear Abby for marital advice. She's been divorced twice. That's true. I was in Mayapur. Suhas will confirm. This is not a poetic license. Somehow I got sick in India. Not the usual sickness. I got some virus. Digestion was fine, but I literally could not move. I was so drained of any energy. Doctor came, good doctor. I said, just give some pills. No, we have to take blood tests. I was testing him to see if he was bona fide, you know. So he took my blood, clean needle, came from a good school, said blood test analysis will come back the next day, and then I'll come the following day and read it. Sure enough, the blood test came. Doctor never showed up. You know why? He got sick. It's true, isn't it? So, you know, physician, heal thyself. We take advice from so many people. Why not read Srimad Bhagavatam, the timeless wisdom of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Take 15 minutes a day. Read a little bit in the morning before you go to bed or before you go to night. You know, people watch the news. So much bad news. What is it saying? If it bleeds, it leads. That's how they calculate. If it's a car crash or, you know, a helicopter chase, put it on the, you know. Somebody, and if there's blood, it's even better. If it bleeds, it leads. Put it in first. That's their mantra. Just as another mantra, we're way off the track, but we'll get back to this. There's another mantra. I saw a t-shirt. We were on Harinam the other day, and the t-shirt said, instant idiot, just add... No, it said, I swear to you, it said, instant idiot, just add alcohol. And I was thinking, we should get a t-shirt that says, instant ecstasy, just add Hare Krishna. Anyway, let me read this list. Because first Bhishma Dev gives the conditions, then he gives the solutions. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. Not to become angry, not to lie, to equally distribute wealth, to forgive, to beget children only by one's legitimate wife, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body, to not be inimical to anyone, to be simple, and to be subordinate of servants and subordinates. To support servants and subordinates. Then he says, one cannot become a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. Prabhupada's purport. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. If you control your senses, it's the basis of morality. People say, you have so many do-nots. Actually, when I first came to the temple, I think I've told the devotees this anyway, they're tolerant. Prabhupada had a wonderful, sweet Bengali accent. And I was surfacing from the lower modes of nature. So I couldn't quite hear everything Prabhupada said. I was already a vegetarian. I'd given up eggs. I was raised in America. What can I say? And my last thing, I love sweets. So I gave up. The last thing was giving up baked goods because they have eggs in them, most of them. So, which is speaking of not being cooked by devotees. So I came and I was late for the lecture. I heard Prabhupada say, we have so many do-nots. I thought he said donuts. I thought, fantastic. I said, I came to the right place. I was so happy, you know. But then as I listened, I said, oh, he said, do nots. I said, oh, man, you know. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this, you know. But I was teaching one of our devotees, and anyone who's driven me will say, you know, there's how many things are wrong in this picture. But I was teaching one of our devotees how to drive. Ramapati is a very nice devotee, very, very nice brahmachari. And so I said, you just watch me, but you pretend like you're driving, just in the beginning. So, you know, we're driving. And when you drive home tonight, you think about it. There's so many signs. He said, there's so many signs. Isn't it stop, back up, speed, don't go this, don't. He said, you know, what are all these signs? I said, did you ever drive in India? He said, yeah. I said, well, don't they have any? He said, no. He said, I said, don't they have any rules? He said, no, it's only one rule. Don't hit anything. And I thought, you know, like we have the basic rule, Rupa Goswami says, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. I said, don't hit anything. Well, on one hand, that pretty much covers it. You know, if you don't hit anything, you're okay. I said, well, it's a little more complicated over here than don't hit anything. You know, a little, you know, but if you think about it, suppose you think, you know, I want to feel the unfettered freedom of the soul. So I don't give a darn if it says one-way traffic, do not enter. I'm going where I want to go. Well, they say if everything is coming in your way in life, you're in the wrong lane. I mean, the signs are there to help us. Stop here, turn left, turn. They're isn't it? They're not an imposition on us. There's not the DMV is getting a rush out of all. Let's crimp all these guys, you know, let's crimp their style and put a bunch of signs out there, you know. They're for our benefit. So here it's saying if we learn to control our senses, what we eat, regulated life, as it will be explained in a minute, we become happy, we become peaceful. We can traverse in life from point A to point B. If you wonder, how people wake up at 45 and how did I ever get here? What happened? I took a wrong turn at 25. But if you learn to control your senses, you can traverse the path of life successfully. And how to control one's senses is described here in the Bhagavatam. So I'll push on. The main purpose of Vedic culture is to awaken knowledge and detachment. In the beginning phases, it is instructed that this material world is not the actual home of the living being. This is not our real home. Our real home is the kingdom of God. The conditioned souls under material bondage are prisoners of matter, and therefore self-realization is the ultimate aim of life. The whole system of ashram dharma is meant for detachment. Once meant, the Vedas are so practical. They give an example of renunciation, means to become detached or to give up so many things. If you cut your fingernail, if you cut it too close, you know, you ever cut it too close? It'd be quite painful. You cut it at the right distance, you don't feel a thing. So part of spiritual life is a progression how to become detached from matter. How to become attached from matter? By becoming attached to Krishna. If you have a little kid, if you have a kid or baby who's playing with some scissors or a knife, some dangerous item, if you just snatch it away from the child, what will the child do? Cry. But if you take some little shiny thing, you say, here, the child will drop it immediately and take the other thing, isn't it? They give up a lower thing for a higher thing. So our senses, when they're engaged in the service of Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga, they become completely satisfied. It's easy to give up all these lower things. So, just like an example, how to develop detachment, there's a nice story. There was a rich man, and he had a friend who was a devotee. So one day, a saintly person came to visit the village, and the friend, devotee, wanted to bring his rich friend to come meet this sadhu, this saintly person. But the rich man was thinking, you know, these sadhus, they're just going to ask me for some dakshin, for some money, and, you know, I'm not going to waste my... After all, he's coming to me to ask for something. Why do I need him? You know, people, you become a little arrogant, generally speaking. So, still somehow or other, the friend prevailed on him. And the rich man came before the saintly person, the sadhu. So the sadhu could understand. Prabhupada says the face is the index of the mind. He could understand by the face what was in the heart of the man. So he said, can you do me a favor? The rich man thought, yeah, here it comes. He's going to ask me for some money or whatever it is, you know. So the sadhu said, you know, I have this needle I've been using for sewing up my cloth. He said, can you keep this needle? Now, what's a needle cost? 10 cents? Maybe you have to buy a pack for a dollar. So he said, but can you keep this needle for me? Give it to me in my next life. Rich man thought about it for a minute. Said, actually, I can't do that. Even he realized that even a needle, an insignificant thing, he couldn't keep for his next life. So he could realize all my money, everything I have, finished at the time of death. There's a story that a man died all of a sudden. He was, let's say, 60 years old. Now, anybody who's 30, 40, I think 60 is, I'm 53, so 60, you know, the older I get, the bar of what's old slides up. But this man died all of a sudden. What is it probably called? Cerebral thrombosis, probably says. So off he goes. And he's hauled before Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, where, you know, it's determined what is our credits and debits and what our next life is. So before his judgment is passed on him, he says, wait a minute, I got a complaint here. I don't recommend you file a complaint with Yamaraj, but still he said, I got a complaint. So Yamaraj said, what is the issue? He said, you pulled me out of my body all of a sudden. I died. I didn't have a chance to get my third daughter married and my dimwit son-in-law. I wanted to get out of my will and I wasn't able to do that. And, you know, you didn't give me any sign, no warning. Yammer said, no, I gave you so many warnings. Didn't I give you gray hair? Didn't I give you glasses? Didn't I give you a cane? Time and tide wait for no one. So we should see that this is coming. This is intelligence. And how to prepare. One should become detached. And Vedic system teaches the method for becoming detached. So I just want to finish off this. He gives his answers here. This is Bhishma Dev, one of the Mahajans, one of the great teachers of Vedic tradition. As far as salvation is concerned, one has to conquer the principles of lust, anger, unlawful desires, avarice, and bewilderment. All right, how to do it? He says here, to become free from anger, one should learn how to forgive. To become free from anger, learn how to forgive. There was a guest who came to a darshan. You know, Prabhupada was speaking, sort of an informal meeting. Anyone who doesn't know the word darshan, Prabhupada was speaking. Somehow or other, one of the guests just went off on Srila Prabhupada. You say this and you say that, became very offensive, very irate. Quite, a tense scene. Finally, Brahmananda, anyone knows Brahmananda, said, I think you better leave now, and put an end to that. Off he went. So the devotees were thinking, what will happen to this man? They were saying to Prabhupada, here's a pure devotee of Krishna, and he's committed this big apparat. What will happen? Will this happen? Or what, what to do? Devotees had all their different ideas that he should, commit suicide. He should jump off a cliff, to remedy for the... Prabhupada stopped for a minute and said, well, we could forgive him. Devotees had never thought of that, But become free from anger, one should learn to forgive. Freedom from unlawful desires, one should not make plans. Now, this doesn't mean plans for Krishna or pray, I'm going to go to college, and after college, I'm going to get married, and what do they say? Education, occupation, marriage. So one could, we're talking about reasonable plans, but people dreaming, if only I had this, if only I had that, and, I'll get this, and, people dream so many things. There's a story about the young man who's lying on his bed, and he's going to go the next day to the marketplace, and he has some grains to sell. And he's thinking, he has a pot of yogurt. And he's going to go to the marketplace and sell the yogurt. So in India, quite often they'll hang the yogurt, or they'll hang something from the ceiling. It's safe there. So he's lying on his little bed and dreaming like this. And he thinks, well, I'll sell this yogurt. And with the yogurt, I'll make some profit. With the profit, I'll buy some grains, some seeds. With the seeds, I'll plant some crops. With some crops, I'll have a good crop. I'll sell those. I'll make more money. I'll buy more land. With more land, I can buy an oxen. With the oxen, I can make more. And then eventually, I'll buy a nice house. I'll get married. And if my wife ever argues with me, he said, I'll take the stick and I'll chastise her. So when he took the stick, he broke the pot of yogurt. Whoosh, he had nothing. So we're dreaming so many things, but if one simply accepts whatever Krishna sends, whatever by our honest endeavor Krishna sends by his grace, then one becomes peaceful. So become free from unlawful desire. Because people are always agitated. My father was a businessman. He retired before China opened up. I was visiting his house. He was reading the Wall Street Journal. He turned to me. He said, just think. He said, I retired too soon. I said, why? He said, China opened up. He said, just think of it. He said, 1 billion consumer units. Now, we're also preaching in China. We're afield, but the devotees were telling me, in Chinese and in English, every language, something in a different language means something funny. So they have these names, Bin Too Fat, or Who Flung Dung, or So What. They have all these different names. It's true. I've seen Bin Too Fat myself. Some other ones I won't mention. But Tamal Krishnamurti told me this personally. One of the first devotees from the top university in Beijing, his name was Yu Chan Ting. You chanting. So they thought, this is a great, Tamal Krishna, I see from a grain of rice, you can understand it's a whole pot. He said, this is a sign from Krishna. This country is going to be great. So we were excited. We don't tell anybody, but we're also there, very active in China. But my father was thinking 1 billion consumer units. I said, what are you thinking? He said, it's the basic principle of marketing. He said, create a need, then fill it. In other words, people are living fine. They don't know that they need the blue light special at Kmart. But if you agitate them, create a desire, and then guess what? Oh, we just happen to have the product right over here. Your motorized dustbin or whatever it is, your whiz-bang widget, Oh, I didn't ever know I needed a whiz-bang widget. Sign me up. 25 easy payments. So for all these desires, when one doesn't make all these unnecessary plans. So that's Bhishmadeva. By spiritual culture, one's able to conquer sleep. If one has a regulated life, if one rises early in the morning, what do they say? Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Ben Franklin, who believed in reincarnation. We have a little ditty also. We say early to bed, early to rise, and you'll see Krishna before your eyes. So if you rise early in the morning, the brain becomes peaceful, you chant japa, you have darshan of the beautiful deities. Generally speaking, we could do a poll here, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but devotees don't have much trouble sleeping. Is that a fact? Generally speaking, devotees sleep very peacefully. That's my experience. At a drop of a hat. Devotees. Anyway, we can tell some stories later on about devotees sleeping. But it's not an issue. Easy for us. Generally speaking, you know what one of the biggest pharmaceuticals? I think they're going neck and neck. One is sleeping aids. And then once they're awake, they've got to take something for depression or for anxiety. So they got to take something to go to sleep. And when they wake up, they're either depressed or in anxiety. They've got to take something for that. So don't live, don't die. This is their condition. So from spiritual culture, one is able to conquer sleep. By tolerance only can one conquer desires and avarice. One has to tolerate. Prabhupada said the business of our gurukulas, the greatest thing a parent can teach the child is the ability to tolerate, to control the senses. Instead of give me, give me, give me, I want, ever newer, ever. You go down this, next time you're in the supermarket, look at how many things are stamped new, improved, or the bottle is a different shape. It's the same old whatever it was, but it's a little bigger, a little smaller, different color box, new, improved. So if one can learn to just tolerate, to live simply, when you're asleep, does it matter whether you're sleeping? Supposing you can get to sleep. Whether you're sleeping on a giant bed in the Hilton Hotel, or whether you're sleeping on a park bench, I guarantee most of those bums sleep better than the guy living in the big house in Beverly Hills. He's in anxiety. Buy, sell, and who's going to break in the house? And did my wife sign that prenuptial? You know, they're completely in anxiety. What's going on, you know? And the bum is just sleeping like a baby. So here it's describing, if that's an extreme, I'm taking the two ends of the parameter. But if one learns to tolerate, instead of always, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, burns like fire and is never satisfied. What do they say? Kids, don't try this at home. If you ever have a fire, say a campfire, and you throw gasoline on it, suppose you have a small fire, and you throw gasoline on it. Now two things happen, A, B, sequentially. What's the first thing that happens? Anyone know? No. What's the first thing that happens? First thing is it goes down, because as I understand, the oxygen is suppressed. So you throw on the fire, it appears to go down. You're throwing on a flammable, and yet it appears to be going down. Our senses are on fire. We throw in whatever it is, you know, whatever sense is being titillated, and we throw it in, whatever it is. It's a city of nine gates. All the senses are, you know. So first it may go down for a few minutes, but just as the fire, what's the next thing? Burns like fire. Never satisfied. If one learns to tolerate, that's the sea. It's counterintuitive. But if you learn to tolerate, you become peaceful, rather than chasing after to fulfill it. Like a donkey with a carrot in front of it, who never reaches the goal. Disturbances from various diseases can be avoided by regulated diets. If one simply eats simple food at regulated times, one should eat sitting down. People eat standing up. People eat walking. They have a thing now, you can get a microwave that fits in your car. So you can get a little cup of noodles and you can microwave it. You can drive, drink, listen to the radio, talk on your cell phone, put on makeup, shave, and drink at the same time. Just remember that one rule. Don't hit anything, you know? But anyway, be that as it may, what does that do to your digestion? Stick it in the microwave, you know, quaff it like some beast. But take a few minutes, cook with some simple, wholesome ingredients, fresh-grown ingredients. Offer it. Take a few minutes. You have a picture of Krishna. Offer it to a nice picture of Krishna. Say a few simple prayers. By Ayurveda, if you sit down like this, the digestive system is aligned properly. The mind is peaceful. You'll digest your food. Have a few minutes of peace and quiet and think about Krishna. So here's described. Disturbances of various diseases can be avoided by regulated diet. Simple thing. By self-control, one becomes free from false hopes. Again, this is dreaming about so many things. Money can be saved by avoiding undesirable association. What is it, a fool and his money are soon parted? What's the one of the worst associations? If you want to save money, one of the first things you can do, shut off your television. Kids, have some little kids. Why do you think all of those cartoons on Sunday are offered for free? They cost money to produce, isn't it? Why do you think all those, what's advertised on those in between all the cartoons? Some sugar, some cereal full of sugar, or some ridiculous new toy? Kids are minding their own business. I remember one time driving, I forget where I was, and Prabhupada also said, he commented, he'd seen the same scene in Dallas, that there were some kids, they'd found an old tire, they'd hung it from a tree, and they were swinging on it happy as anything. And in America, they have this festival called Christmas. So they buy as many gifts as possible. I've seen many times after Christmas morning, kids outside on the front lawn playing with the boxes. You know, if it came in a big box, whatever the toy was, they broke, they lost interest. But the box, they made a little fort out. They're having a great time with the box. You know? So this television creates so many artificial desires. All these billboards, they just create a need and fill it. If we can avoid that association, all these things, you'd be amazed how peacefully we can live. Now, this is an extreme example. We don't expect everyone to be a monk. But one of our brahmacharis was filling out a form at a hospital for, you know, because if you don't have any money, they would give care. This is many years ago. So he was checking out the, you know, and they say income. He's living as a devotee. He's living as a monk. Whatever he gives to the deities. So no bank account. He's living as a brahmachari, a genuine brahmachari. Householders, they can have bank accounts, no problem. But living as a brahmachari, he was checked, you know, zero. Savings account, zero. Stock, zero. They asked him, you know, burial certificate, you know, plot, zero. Practically gold filling, zero. Everything, you know, zero, zero, zero. When they add the total, it was zero. I mean, nobody has a total that's zero. Car, zero. So she handed the form in. He handed the form in. The lady just, you know, so many, she read it without looking. She said, oh, my God. And then she looked up and saw a blissful, effulgent, peaceful devotee. She said, oh, that explains it. She got some appreciation that here's someone who's completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, completely peaceful. She could see that actually this person was rich in knowledge. So there it is. By avoiding undesirable association. By practice of yoga, one control hunger. Worldliness can be avoided by culturing the knowledge of impermanence. If we know everything, like I said, Prabhupada said the death rate is 100%. Everything, just like the rich man in the pin, everything will be gone and the needle. So if we have knowledge of impermanence, we won't be... I saw a bumper sticker? It said, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Have you ever seen this? The one who dies with the most toys wins. I was thinking the one who dies with the most toys still dies. That's what it should say. Where are your toys? You know, too bad for you. So, false arguments, there's only four more. False arguments can be conquered by factual ascertainment. By actual knowledge, one can determine what is the situation. We're thinking we're chasing after so many things. We're worried about so many things. We have so many false desires. But by spiritual knowledge, we can know what is true, what's valid, what's real. Talkativeness can be avoided by gravity and silence. By prowess, one can avoid fearfulness. By actual knowledge, one becomes free from the fear of death. That I gave some example. Perfect knowledge can be obtained by self-cultivation. Real knowledge comes by spiritual cultivation. One must become free, and here is how, free to become free from lust, avarice, anger, dreaming, etc., to actually attain the path of salvation. So, I just want to read this one last purport and we'll be done. One last paragraph of Prabhupada. The last item taught by Bhishma Dev is the process of pleasing the Supreme Lord. We are all servants of the Lord, and when we forget this essential part of our nature, we are put into material condition of life. The simple process of pleasing the Lord, for householder devotees especially, is to install the deity of the Lord at home. And here you have beautiful Rukmini Dwarkadish. Just, there's so many ways you can serve them. We're going to talk about that. You just bring something. If you have money, you give some money. If you don't have any money, you give some skill. You give some talent. If you don't have any money, you don't have any skill, you can come and work hard. There's a lady, she's 98 years old. She comes every day to the San Diego, Braja Burdu. She comes every day and sweeps the patio of the temple. We've cried, please, Mataji. She said, no. She said, I can't do anything else. Let me at least sweep Krishna's temple. It takes her all day long. and she sweeps the temple, and then the devotees drive her home. The devotees pick her up. She has darshan. She takes a little bit of prasham. She has no teeth. She lost her teeth the other day. They fell into the sink. We had to look for her teeth. So she can't even eat. She can't, you know. So she takes a little tiny bit of prasadam, and she sweeps the patio all day long, and we take her home 4 o'clock after the evening darshan, after the afternoon darshan. So, by concentrating on the deity, one may progressively go on with daily routine work. Worshipping the deity at home, serving the devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a holy place, and chanting the holy name of the Lord are all inexpensive items by which one can please the Lord. Thus, the subject matter was explained by the grandfather to his grandchildren. If you walk out of this door with one thing, Prabhupada was giving his talk. This was in New York, 26 Second Avenue. In the middle of the lecture, some man, Prabhupada was very sweet and gentle the way he said, oh, he's not quite in order. The guy was just a complete drunk, you know. And he stumbled in the back door. Everyone was, you know, what is this? He walked across, right through, mumbled something, nobody knew what he was saying. He walked over to there was a side door bathroom. He opened the bathroom door and he put in some toilet paper and hand tissues. Prabhupada said, ah, he is rendering service. This is spiritual life. According to his means, he was doing a little bit of service. I was in Balboa Park with one of our nice sannyasis. We have a Sunday program. We set up a pandal and we chant out there. We have a book table. This homeless person, obviously not in order, came up to us and said, I'm suffering. And, you know, you could just see the person hadn't bathed in just days and his clothes were tattered. And just by the index of the face, this person was really suffering. So they said, you know, pray for me. He said, I'm low. I'm really low. Help me. So we said, well, why don't you just, you know, you can try chant. Oh, I can't chant. You know, I cannot say so many words. Krishna is one word, but some are, I cannot say so many words. So he couldn't do that. We said, and you know, the guy was about 80 proof. If you'd lit a stick of incense, you would have blown him up and you along with him, you know? So the devotee politely said, you know, maybe you want to try if you just stop drinking, you know, that might, you know, nah. And he was smoking, his teeth were, can you stop drinking? So down the list, couldn't do anything. Finally, well, where are you living? He was living in the women's bathroom in the park. So the devotee said, well, could you move to the men's bathroom? He could do that. He could make that one step, you know. So that's an extreme example. But all of us can do something. We should all, if we're not chanting, we should get a set of japa mala beads and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Chant the names of God. It is so easy. It is so sweet. It is the best way to control the mind. Chant a little bit in the morning. Chant a little bit in the evening. You will become so happy. It's an easy thing. Just add it. It's an add to. It's not a subtract. Chant nicely. Get a Bhagavad Gita. Get a Srimad Bhagavatam. Read a little bit. Come and worship the deity. But make your house a temple also. Get a nice picture of Krishna. Get a little deity from the gift shop. I don't get a commission. Get a little deity. Oh, you know what? You say patra pushpam palam toyam. Offer a little flower, a little stick of incense, a little cut fruit. It's so easy. Begin bringing Krishna into your life. And to the degree that you bring Krishna or God into your life, he will reveal himself. And everything will become clear and you'll be fixed in transcendental knowledge. And that is the key for solving all the problems, the real key for solving the problems in life. So thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So our temple president will tell us what happens next.
You can ask them questions or they can eat prasadam. Okay. So we can take prasadam.
Oh, that's usually very popular now.
So please take your full heart's content.